It's Classical Spotlight, and looking forward to the next artist for the Tuesday Music Club here in San Antonio. Tuesday night, Paul Jacobs will be at a wonderful church here in town. We're looking forward to having you back. It's been a couple of years. Welcome to Classical Spotlight, Paul.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
We know Laurel Heights has a delightful instrument, and how will you, is this where, have you performed here at this particular church before?
Yes, for the Tuesday Musical Club. The last time I was in town was at this venue, and I am thoroughly looking forward to returning, if it's even half as wonderful as it was the last time.
Oh, excellent. I know there's some composers that we might recognize, like Bach and Mozart, on the program. What else are you performing on this time around?
Yes, well, I'm also going to include the music of Robert Schumann, who we know worshipped Johann Sebastian Bach, as well as a contemporary of George Frideric Handel by the name of John Stanley, who was a blind organist and composer. And then I'm going to play some pieces by two French ladies, Nadia Boulanger, who we usually think of as the great pedagogue of the 20th century when it came to music. But we hear a few morsels in the days when she did compose. And then we will hear some de Messier etudes. Jean de Messier was quite an interesting organist. She was known to have performed in high heels some of the most wickedly difficult music ever written for the organ. But of course, if you look at any photographs of her online and such, she just looks harmless and like a very elegant, refined person, which I'm sure she was, but when she was at the organ console, she tore it up. And then the second half will consist of Mozart's, late Mozart, and we say that relatively speaking because the poor man only lived to be 35, and we'll conclude with a great organ sonata by the 19th century organist-composer Alexandre Guilmant.
Is it a challenge as you're choosing this repertoire for, you know, if you just take even the difference between Mozart and Schumann, they're both German, but the instruments sort of change. And I know there's such a great, the French have such this great tradition as well, that with the registers all playing on the same organ, how do you approach that for these different styles? Because not only are they different countries, but they're of different time periods.
John, life would be so much easier if I were a pianist or a violinist or a singer. But we organists have to travel in advance of the performance and prepare the organ or register the instrument. Even music that we have played 100 times before, we have to tailor it specifically to the instrument at hand. Because every instrument is unique, one to the next. So I'm going to spend a couple of days becoming reacquainted with the beast and preparing this program for this instrument, especially for the audience in San Antonio.
Are there times that you wish you had another pair of ears, or do you maybe work with the church organist or students that to hear how it sounds out in the church sometimes?
That's a very good question. Yes, in fact, we could always use an extra pair of ears, all musicians. But specifically organists, if the organ console or the cockpit of the instrument where the organist plays is located in a remote position or it's embedded within the instrument, naturally the organist himself or herself does not get a good sense of what the organ sounds like out in the room. So we need sometimes an extra pair of ears. The instrument where I will be performing, fortunately, is fairly straightforward in its layout, so I should not need an extra pair of ears in this situation.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's Tuesday night at 7:30 at Laurel Heights United Methodist Church. There's more at satmc.org. You've been busy since you've last been here. I think I actually heard you out in San Francisco with a lovely, lovely American Mavericks program with the world premiere of Mason Bates. And you guys have actually just released a recording with San Francisco Symphony, haven't you?
Yes, I'm very excited about this. Michael Tilson Thomas and the San Francisco Symphony invited me to take on tour with them last spring the Mason Bates piece as well as the Lou Harrison Organ Concerto. And this new disc includes the live performances from Davies Hall in San Francisco, the Organ Concerto, which we took on tour to several venues. And that's a great deal of fun to play, and I hope that people will enjoy what they hear. I should also mention, John, that another disc will be coming out on the Naxos label of a work by Michael Dougherty for organ, percussion, and brass, which was premiered with the Pacific Symphony last year, and that's going to happen in the spring. And maybe last but not least, I'm going to premiere a new organ concerto by Stephen Paulus with the Phoenix Symphony coming up in the spring as well.
These are great things to hear. We'll have the Harrison disc here shortly, and we'll be happy to feature that on KPAC. I have to ask, what sort of icon or pop medium was used with the Dougherty? Because he's such a fun master of puns and wit. And was there a particular a pop association with this work?
Well, yes. The work is entitled The Gospel According to Sister Amy. And Sister Amy was a rather sensational evangelist, one of the very first evangelists in the United States to amass an enormous following. And, of course, there was quite the intrigue surrounding her life. And I think Michael captures all of that very well in the music.
We'll keep an eye out for that. And we know that there's been a superstorm up your way and already more winter weather heading up there. So we'll be happy to welcome you here to the South Central Texas and look forward to your performance with the Tuesday Music Club.
Well, John, I can't wait to be with all of you in Texas.